Welcome to episode 84 of Conversation Street, the only podcast dedicated to the British soap institution Coronation Street. I'm Michael.
And I'm Gemma.
And this week we'll be discussing the episodes broadcast in the UK between the 24th and the 28th of February 2014. Oh, there was trouble at Mill this week.
There was. At the actual Mill.
There was lots of location stuff this week. We had the Mill, we had the Bingo Hall, but I thought it was quite exciting, all the stuff you're feeling this week.
Yeah, it was actually. I didn't expect it to come to a head so quickly.
No, and we couldn't decide after Wednesday's episodes whether we thought we'd be dead or not.
You're jumping ahead.
No, it's all right. You can talk about it. But it was also good this week. We are more and more convinced that we're seeing more of the new set already.
I feel like this is a conspiracy theory.
What?
It's like a conspiracy theory, and you're like finding evidence.
I am.
I feel like you're going mental and you're going to start wearing a tinfoil hat.
Because next Thursday, I think, is when they're having this documentary on ITV about the new set. And I just kind of assumed that, like, they would have, like, a big episode where they said, now it's all new set. But there were scenes, like, on the street where they had two cars passing each other, which is one of the things of the new set.
That can't happen.
But also indoor sets as well. Chesney's house, I'm sure we saw some different angles there. We saw that brick fireplace, which we haven't seen since the 80s.
A brick fireplace?
Yes. So I think they're kind of just gonna, they're trying to trick us, and then they'll say in the documentary, aha, you didn't even notice. That's conspiracy. We knew all along. Yeah, that seems to be the new
contrails.
Set. Looking good.
9/11 was an inside job. Carry on.
Corrie history this week. 50 years ago this week, Leonard Swindley had a breakdown after he fought plans to open a nightclub in the basements of Elliston's raincoat factory.
I love nightclubs that are based in basements of raincoat factories. They're the best kinds.
You're not like Leonard Swindley then.
No, me and Leonard have fallen out about this loads of times. It's 40 years since Liam Connor was born.
Yeah, he's still looking quite young, still getting pushed around in that pushchair.
Dead.
Not that Liam Connor.
He's dead. Don't confuse me.
He would have been 40 if he hadn't been run over by a car.
10 years since Dev proposed to Maya on his birthday.
I guess so, or near his birthday,
wasn't it?
Yeah. Maybe he was just full of feeling so happy.
Maybe he used his birthday money to buy a ring.
He could have done.
Yeah.
Not very much this week in Corrie history, but at least we'll be able to.
It's been a really crap week in Coronation Street history, but in 5 years' time, we'll have something to talk about.
Right, let's talk about that now then. So, street talk.
Street talk time. There have been so many storylines. Some of them have been abandoned on various days of the week.
Well, looking at over at the notes, we've seemed to have absolutely loads about the Trouble at Mill storyline. Obviously, that was the big one this week.
It's a big
one. And then everything else was just in it a bit. So we had a bit of the calisthenics gym storyline, kind of. We got to see Kel's dad this week for the first time.
Yes.
We had more of the Bye Guy storyline after Marcus and, I was going to say Jason, Todd's shenanigans last week. We also had Beth stuff. This week, we can still call it the Tinker Takeover, but I don't know whether it.
What does that refer to?
That's them taking over the Tinkers, all taking over Chesney's house. That's what we called it. That's
okay,
what we've called
right,
it.
Okay.
But I don't know. Is it to do? Is this going to be a bingo storyline?
Have you thought of anything bingo related?
Well, I don't know whether it's a bingo storyline. I don't want to come up with a new
bingo storyline. It was to do with Beth being a
superhero.
Yeah, a modern day vigilante, like Batman or something.
Bethman.
Yes, Bethman. Well done. Good job.
So that's what I'd have done if I had to come up with a new pun for this. I love that storyline this week. I wanted it to all be about them.
Well, it wasn't. Tanner's Got Talent.
Yeah, just the end of that.
And a little bit of Corpus Croaked, definitely still dead. Roy is just
getting more trains
along,
in the post.
He?
Yeah.
So let's start with Trouble at the Mill,
yeah,
as we call it down south.
Trouble at the Mill. So Monday, the main thing there was feeling getting a bit too close to Anna. Because she was fed up of everything, like him sort of creeping around her. So she texts him to say,
Well,
"Look, come round and we'll sort it out."
she's been confiding in Izzy, and between the pair of them, they sort of realise that if Owen finds out, it's going to ruin everything. So Anna thinks the best idea is to tell Feeling to his face that she's not interested, which was a really stupid idea, and it doesn't pan out well at all
No.
because he goes around there and they have this conversation whereby neither of them are saying anything at all to each other. They're
No,
just
she didn't
talking
make
in
it very clear
cliches,
why
and
she was bringing him round there.
she didn't come out once really and say, "I'm not interested in you
Well, she did towards
sexually."
the end, but it took a long time.
He was like, "Oh, you women are all the same. Oh, you tease." And she's like, "No, I don't know what you mean. Just tell him I'm not interested in you. If you carry on like this, I'm gonna tell Owen, and the whole deal's gonna be off. So just leave me alone."
But I think he must have known that she's not interested. He's just going off on a power trip, wasn't he?
It's
He.
kind of, I don't know. I kind of, I yeah. In a way, I think that's what he was doing, but he was so confident. I
Yeah.
guess he just thought that she wouldn't say anything, and he was right because she didn't.
Yeah, he's a nasty piece of work. He's proper intimidating and scary, is feeling.
Well, as they're talking and not saying anything, like for example, she's like, "Oh, you're so arrogant." "I'm not arrogant. I'm just confident." And then pushes her against the door, and starts grabbing her and everything.
Did
It
you
wouldn't have
think?
got that far if he'd gone anywhere near me and touched me. He would have been on the floor nursing his balls. I don't understand.
Did you think that he would have like raped her if
Well,
he'd
they
had the
say one
chance?
of the things they have to teach women in self-defense classes is to actually, when they attack, is to actually try to hurt the other person. Because apparently, quite often, women will know exactly what they're supposed to do, and they'll know how to, defend themselves properly. But they just don't have that instinct to actually follow through properly and hurt somebody.
Yeah.
Like they'll hit a little bit, but they won't probably try to hurt them. And that's probably exactly what Anna was going through, because she was like, "Oh no, don't touch me." They just nutted him.
Well, she made him leave in the end anyway. But
Yeah, she says, "Get out."
it still doesn't particularly help because they've organised to go to the bistro for dinner
Well,
tonight, haven't they?
also he's trying to make it her fault and saying, "Oh, you made me come here. You said you wanted to talk to me. I know exactly what you wanted, and you haven't told Owen what's going on, so you've already started lying to him. So I know, that just proves that you just want to be fair with me." So when she finally gets rid of him, she gets all weird and shaky, and because she's pumped up from the adrenaline of this confrontation, and she doesn't want to go to the bistro and smile at him over the table because that's just slimy bumhole. Can't
Yeah.
bear to look at him.
At the bistro as well, when he's there later, he's acting like as if nothing's
Feeling.
happened, feeling like they're having a good old laugh
He's like
and
a serial philanderer, isn't he? Even though he wasn't philandering, he was just being a git.
Yeah. So
Yeah, so they're all at the bistro without
well,
Anna
Izzy's
anyway.
uncomfortable, isn't she? Because she knows that something's not quite right, so she makes her excuses
Well, she says
and
she's
heads
going to
off
check on
home.
Anna, but Feeling's like, "Oh, she's fine. You don't need to worry about her." So she badgers Izzy, Anna, when she goes around there, does Izzy,
Yeah.
and she confesses to Izzy that Pat's come round and she's marked his card, but obviously that's not what really happened. And when Izzy asks her for more details, she gets all snappy, and she so Izzy leaves, but then she tells Gary what happened, and she adds in the fact that she suspects that it went a bit further than Anna was prepared to tell her, which can only mean he was trying it on physically and stuff, which Gary is thrilled to hear about
Well,
because he thinks Feeling's a much nicer chap than Owen,
he
and he
did up
can't
and
wait for the wedding.
they was fine with them up till now, wasn't he? After the bad start that he'd had with Phelan, he was well at the bistro, absolutely fine having a joke with him. But anyway, on Wednesday, Izzy's still trying to find out exactly what happened, but Gary's kind of getting in the way.
Yeah, he keeps popping up when she's trying to have a private conversation with Anna.
Yeah, but Anna eventually sort of says to Izzy that, oh yeah, Phelan did get a bit physical with me.
And he
And
didn't believe me when I told him I didn't fancy him.
yeah, so we had lots of scenes at the mill on Wednesday's episode with Gary just sort of
Glaring.
glaring and glaring at Phelan all day. And it Owens can obviously see that something's up with him, but Gary's like saying, no, that's fine. But why did you come and have a lift in my car tonight,
Oh,
feeling?
yeah, just to say, Wednesday's episode moved into Friday. So although we had Friday's two episodes on Friday, technically they were all
Yeah, it was all on the same
Wednesday.
day, wasn't it? Yeah. So yeah, he says he's going to give Pat a lift home, and then
When they're by themselves later on in the dusk.
yeah, that's when Gary starts like shoving him and saying, "What have you been doing to my mum?" But even then, feeling like is still absolutely brimming with confidence, saying, "Oh, your mum asked for it. She's a tat."
She's a tat! And so Gary punches him in the face.
Yeah.
And all the way through this conversation, they had action cam on the
Yeah.
go. So you could tell something was going to happen because they can't hold a
Shaky,
static face
shaky
shot,
cam.
can they, when there's going to be a fight? It's like wobbly
There
action,
was
everyone
lots
can
of good
move.
camera angles. There was like over the head stuff and everything.
And also, so they have this scuffle and sort of fight each other. And at one point, Phelan knocks Gary to the floor. Gary picks up a giant 2x4 and whacks Phelan around the head with it.
That was
And
great.
Phelan fell like a sack of lead, didn't he? His arms went dead and he just went bump
I
straight
think you
down.
find the phrase a sack of
Perfect.
potatoes if you
I think it's a sack
remember.
of spanners.
Yeah, that was a really good fall, like not putting his arms out to stop himself or
Excellent,
anything.
excellent stunt work.
Yeah.
And to all intents and purposes, he was dead.
Yeah, we even got in the notes, Phelan dies at that point.
You look pretty dead to me.
Yeah, well, Gary's just like prodding him on
Yeah, on
today's episode.
Friday,
He's going,
that's
"Oh,
it.
come on, get up, get up." He's really pooing himself on
He's pooing
the
himself.
with worry because he thinks
Because
he's killed
he's
him.
gone to live with Auntie Palm. Pam.
Yeah,
Auntie Palm.
Auntie Palm on the farm.
So, meanwhile, there's a boring subplot
Oh
about
yeah, I
Jake
didn't care
having some
about
kind of
that. Wee infection.
urine problem. And he's got a temperature. Oh no. So
He can tell we're
is
not
he and
parents.
Anna is he and Anna taken to the hospital? Using NHS valuable resources. Something wrong with the kid, just get a new one.
Yeah, but he's 39.6 degrees, so they rush him in there
Out of what?
with Lloyd.
What
I
should
don't
he
even know
normally
what
be?
normal temperatures are. I really don't know,
Isn't
I'm
it
sorry,
100s bad? So he's got loads to go. That's like
Pat.
another 60,
Don't
isn't he?
think so.
No?
Isn't it 37 or something? I don't know. Should know that.
Why?
I
I'm
don't
sure
know.
they give you a book when you have a kid.
Yeah, teach it
Like,
all you need
if
to
it
know.
goes above this number, bring it in for get MOT'd.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
Izzy's trying to phone out Gary to tell him,
oh
watch
no,
out.
Jake's ill.
But Gary is too busy poking and prodding and trying to work out what to do
Prodding a
with Phelan.
corpse. So he calls Gary. I mean, Owen. No, Gary calls Owen and says, "Oh, Pat's had an accident. He's asleep.
Come around and help.
Come and help me." So Owen gets there, and Gary reveals what's happened, and also tells Owen about Pat coming on to Anna.
Yeah.
And he called her a tart and everything, so that's why I hit him with a piece of wood. So Owen's like, well, okay, that
Fair dues.
makes sense then. So they both
No.
go to see what happened, and where is
I said he would
Phelan?
gone, didn't I?
He's
Didn't I say
gone,
he's
he's
not going
run
to be
off.
there?
They still can't
Classic.
find him later. It's getting dark. They don't think they're going to be able to find him. So.
He didn't. You'd have thought that he might have left some kind of trail. Maybe not of blood, but I mean, did he
Thing is
have a. Were
about.
there any footsteps? He'd fallen onto this big pile of sand or something, didn't he? You would have
It's,
thought
it
there'd be
was
like
quite
sandy
funny
footsteps.
because on the pile of sand, I don't think this was deliberate at all, but it did look like there were very heavy indentations where hands and a face would be, as though there was like a little mark where he'd fallen over. But yeah, he had a head injury and they bleed a lot, even if they're not serious, so you'd think there would be blood on everywhere. But anyway, they
Serious.
can't find him, so Gary's like, "Oh, I've got to confess. Oh, I'm gonna go back to prison. Oh my
Yeah,
God."
Owen's like, no, don't confess. You've already got a record.
You're gonna be in
Yeah.
deep poo.
Yeah, because
Continue with our theme, poo
even
in the
if
dirt.
Phelan is of on death's door, he knows people. Yeah, and
Yeah.
he's gonna send them after them.
So they get a call from Anna about
Jake
Jake,
being in
and so they go, "Oh
hospital.
God, who gives a crap about that?" But
Yeah.
they go to the hospital anyway because you've got to pretend to be
And they
interested, don't
even
you?
think they might even see Phelan there.
Yeah. So, as Gary is being dropped off at the hospital by Owen, he decides to ring up Phelan and he leaves a little casual message on the phone. "Oh, hi, just thinking about you. I had fun today at work. See you tomorrow. Love you. Bye bye."
Just to cover his tracks.
But I do wonder whether evidence... This is what happened when Hayley died. There's going to be evidence involved in this. It's all clues.
So luckily Jake is also all right. He's got his antibiotics.
But remember to finish the course.
Yes.
People that don't finish the course should be shot.
So they go home. Izzy's pretty peeved with Gary because he hadn't been answering her phone calls. But by the time they get home, she seems to have got over that. And she's concerned that he's looking a little bit off colour himself.
But they're pretty relieved about the fact that Jake's okay.
Yes.
And so Anna and Izzy break out the carver.
Yeah. And then we have the old classic, there's a police car on the street. Who could it be for? But, well, that's been the best story.
We're going to tell you later.
Yeah. So later on that evening, Owen and Gary decide to go round to the Phelan's mansion and just see what's happening. But was it like there's lights off? Nobody was there. So
what's happening? Gary thinks perhaps he's at the hospital. Perhaps he's at the morgue. What's going on, Owen? Tell me. And Owen says, I don't know either.
But we'll find out soon enough.
Not really. No, we have to wait till Monday.
So what do you think has happened to him?
I think he's going to turn up like nothing happened.
I think,
and that he's going to do the whole... They're going to go back there on Thursday morning to work as normal.
Which will be Monday.
And Phelan will look at him like, hello, lads. And then when everyone's gone, he's going to be like, you watch your backs.
Yeah.
I've marked your card now.
He's got them by the short and curlies now. So if he's going to be okay. But, I mean, is he going to be okay having survived that?
Yeah, it was only Gary hitting him around the head.
What a easy soldier.
He got kicked out.
What about Val, though? Because isn't she going to be saying to Pat that he should go to the police? Because
no, he can't hide it from her. I mean, what's her name?
Val.
Val's going to be like, oh, boys, you boys and your scrapes, always getting into fights. She's probably gonna be that kind of woman, you know. If I don't have to be involved in it, don't tell me about it. I'm not interested.
No, I think she's probably quite precious about him.
Do you think?
Well, she was saying, "Oh, he's such a wonderful husband," wasn't she the other week?
Yeah, but I thought she was being sarcastic, like when I said that about you.
yeah. Well, I think you're right. I think the next time we see him, he's gonna be fine and just pretending as if no one's happened. But
do you think it's like Death Becomes Her?
Do you think that, like, he's going to...
Is he a zombie? Is he a Nosferatu?
Do you think that he's going to, like, demand to, like, be able to...
Right, you try to kill me, otherwise I can touch Anna up.
Yeah.
Because you knocked me around the head.
Gosh, it's getting dark, this storyline, isn't it?
But to be honest, though, at that point, how exactly is Phelan going to be able to blackmail them? What's he going to do? Run off to the police and say, oh, they hit me around the head last week with a bit of wood. Look, there's a mark on my face.
Yeah, why not?
Well, what evidence do you have? You can't just go around saying someone hit me last week.
I think they could probably do x-rays and stuff.
But what? How does that...
I don't know. I'm not medical.
In real life, I just don't think that you can...
I do. I don't know. I've got no idea. I don't know. At least he's not... I hope he doesn't get brain damage, because then he could, like, join a little club with Nick. They could join a support group together.
Yeah. Like, Anna, I really fancy you. Yeah. Stop playing hard to get.
Don't need another one of those. I'm glad they haven't killed him off anyway, because he seemed to be quite a big character, and I was quite surprised when this happens.
It's kind of like what happened with Jane.
Yeah.
She appeared and she was a big part of the show, and then
gone.
Clocked around the head by Hayley.
Yeah, but I certainly was not expecting this storyline to go this direction when it first started. Cool. I thought it was all going to be just like money and whatever.
Oh no, the supplies are bankrupting us. Oh.
Pretty exciting, I think. Oh, I'm enjoying
the
it.
The floods have dampened the foundations.
Just a shame that Kate is in there spoiling it by her presence.
Although, even
Faye is providing some use to this storyline by telling us what a prime number is.
A prime number is a number that's divisible by itself and one.
That was a really weird scene when Faye was saying what the prime number of what the factors of 18 were. And it was like Corrie Teaches Maths.
Do you think
public service
like,
announcement?
There was one child in the country that was like, oh, that's what I'm doing right now. Cool! Maths is cool!
Probably.
Well, it was worth it then, wasn't it, for us all to have to sit through that boring rubbish.
That was really weird, that scene. Anyway, let's move...
I would have preferred them to have done French. It would have been funny. Bonjour, je voudrais une glace.
Maybe next time.
Why not?
Let's move on to another kind of building-y storyline. That's what they're all about this week. The gym, the calisthenic storyline. So somebody else is interested in the spare unit there, and unless they can raise the cash, this is Dev and Kel, they won't be able to move their gym in. So it's a panic station, so then they need to get this money in fast.
Well, Dev's like, oh, I can't do anything about it. I don't have any more money. And Kel says, well, there's one person I could ask, but I don't want to. And you don't want me to either. And Dev's like, well, yeah, of course I do. Otherwise, we can't do it.
You'll come to regret that.
And unfortunately, Cal does manage to get the money off this person. It's his dad. Mm. Dev is thrilled. Cal is not. And he tells Dev that his father is waiting for them at the gym.
Yeah. Did you see that bit? Well, I liked the suggestion from Dev that Chesney buys the kebab shop, because he said that, yes, oh, we could have raised money from that, and Chesney seemed well up for owning it.
He's like,
it.
Oh, I could in a year.
Yeah.
And Dev's like, well, you know,
I like the idea of that.
But yeah, hopefully that's sown some seeds.
Mm-hmm. So we get to meet Cal's dad, Sharif, later on. He seems to be like one of these jovial, charming businessmen.
He's like one of these charismatic business guys that actually doesn't care about anybody in real life.
Yeah,
like
he's totally ruthless. Yeah, but
empty
he will put
charm
on this front.
Yeah, like, oh, how lovely you look, but if in actuality, if you were lying on the floor in front of something you wanted, you'd just crawl over your corpse.
Yeah,
to get to it.
I quite like what I saw of him so far.
Him, do you?
Yeah, and I it was good to see a kind of a vulnerable side of Cal as well, because Cal's been all confidence and
yeah,
everything so far.
Everything.
But having his dad there has put him right in his place.
It has as well. He's been dejected all week.
Yeah. So Sharif manages to charm Stella a little bit on Monday's episode.
But he gets himself involved immediately by telling Cal and Dev that Jason's price for the conversion is too high and he's going to get a friend to do it cheaper.
Yeah, which is why Cal didn't want to get him involved, because he's taking meddling over. Sharif's got this Graham chap lined up on Wednesday's episode. They're ready to start whenever they want. So they all go to have this meeting at the bistro.
Well, no, he says, we're having a meeting at the bistro's, okay. And then Des like, well, I don't know. And he's like, no, you'll meet me at the bistro at 1. Just another example of how he steamrollers over people. He doesn't care what they think.
Yeah, and I felt sorry for Dev, because he had to then go and tell Jason that the deal's not on.
Yeah, Jason says, I thought we was mates.
Yeah.
And then Dev's like, well, it wasn't my decision, it was other people's, blah, 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 blah. So Dev goes back and tells Cal and Sharif about Jason being upset, and Sharif's like, well, you just shouldn't let it bother his business, nothing to do with friendship.
Yeah, they talk about separating business and friends and family, even though he's getting his own friends
involved.
Yeah,
exactly. And he's in business with his son.
He's right, isn't he, I guess?
I've never understood, though, how you have to make the distinction. That's the thing that gets to me. It's like, you don't have to be a dick about it.
I think that the problem with this is nobody's told Sharif that on Coronation Street you've got to work within
everyone
2 minutes walking distance of your front door.
If you need a job doing, it has to be done by one of these people.
Yeah, nobody's told them this. Yeah.
You want someone to sew up knickers, you're fine. If you've got a building needs doing, you're fine. Butchers, we don't have any of those anymore.
Yeah, everyone's turned vegetarian.
You've got to buy everything from Freshco's.
Since Ashley died. This was bad news for Jason. And it was all because of Jason putting his prices up the other day, which is what Eva and Tony had kind of bullied him into him.
To be fair, he was in the wrong about this. He shouldn't have let Tony tell him what to do. He was trying to kind of impress his dad by going along with what he was being told.
I think he might have not done it if Eva hadn't been there also saying,
but if I hired somebody to do a job and they said fiver, and I said fine, fiver for you to do it, and then they came back and said £7, I'd say, well, no, your agreement's null and void, you're not doing it
then. Yeah, definitely.
I wouldn't feel bad about it like Dev did.
Mm. So Dev is sad at the end of Wednesday's episode because says
I've
he's
lost a friend.
Were
they friends?
Are Dev and Jason really
this
that close?
This is what
close?
I was thinking. I don't... Like, it's got to be desperate for Dev if that's his best friend on the street.
Yeah, well,
they barely talk to
Steve's
each other.
That's what I thought. Because, I mean, they've been together in storylines because of, like, Jason and Stella being together and all that, being involved with Dev. But I didn't think they were that close. Oh, well. Maybe we're forgetting something. So Friday, Jason is just mad at Tony because of him making him lose this job. But at least he gets to do the pointing for his mum's...
Does he?
Well, who's doing the pointing?
Tony's saying his door frame needs pointing, and Jason's like, oh no, it doesn't. Let him tell you that it's wrecked. He doesn't know anything.
Yeah, and throughout the rest of the episode, everyone, it's mostly then to do with Tony, isn't it? Tony and Liz.
Tony and Liz growing closer together. Romance. Because she was supposed to be going out with Deirdre, and then she got cancelled on, so she sits in the Rovers, and then she tells Tony that he's got a bad attitude towards Jason, and...
But they still go out to then they with
still,
each other anyway.
Yeah, they're still happy with each other, and everyone says that Eileen still fancies Tony, even though I don't think she does.
I don't think she does, but I'm sure that one of the main reasons they brought Tony back is so that Eileen will get together with him at some point and probably regret it.
Yeah, probably. Eileen's annoyed at Tony because of the fact that Jason lost his job over his poor advice. And Liz's like, yeah, you're not very good because you didn't even know how old your son was.
Why is Tony staying hanging around there?
Where does he live?
I don't know where he lives. I mean, they obviously cast this new bloke to play him, but I hate it when there's like these characters that suddenly just decide that they're going to spend every waking hour on Coronation Street.
Hanging out with all the other people.
But I mean, there is Liz that's attracting him to it. I like the scene between Liz and Amy in the back room of the Rovers today when Amy said that she looked gorgeous, and Liz is like, oh, nobody ever tells me that nowadays. Your granddad used to say that, so I thought that was quite.
And she also gave. Was it Amy, some tips about how to...
Oh, yeah, pull. It's all in the eyes.
It's all in the eyes. Finally, we have a scene with a bit of male bonding between Todd and Jason.
Yeah, we got to see a nice side of Todd for once. Kind of.
Well, Todd tells Jason not to hold grudges over what Tony did in the past. But he also pointed out earlier to him that he seeks his approval, and perhaps that's going to be an issue for him as he goes forward. I don't know.
I'm not too fussed at what the Grimshaws are doing at the moment. I didn't mind Tony when he came back, but he's just a bit boring, really.
It needs
he's
to just... be more dramatic or not. Don't have it at all, because at the moment it's just like watching your actual family having an argument.
Do you think that Jason will end up doing the gym anyway, or is this Graham bloke going to do it?
I don't know, they haven't shown Graham yet, have they? They haven't.
No, and the work hasn't started on the gym, has it?
All Jason needs to do is go to Dev, look, I took advice off my dad. He didn't know what he was talking about. I should have gone with my first instincts. I can match your guy's price. I'll do it for you. You know me. I live here. If there's a problem, I can sort it.
Are Dev and Cal equal partners on it? Can Dev just say, well, I'm going to get Jason to do it?
I would imagine that they're split three ways, aren't they? They haven't said anything, but there's three partners.
Mm.
So I would just... I don't understand. Sometimes things like this happen. It's like, if you just said something. So yes, I don't see why Todd can't just get swallow his pride and say to Dev, I screwed up.
Jason. Todd
should just say, I screwed up.
I can be a builder.
I slept with Marcus.
Speaking of which, let's talk about that one then. So more Grimshaw stuff, this bye guy storyline. Sean and Todd are being a bit weird around each other on Monday, and Eileen wants to know why. Todd says, look, I just put Sean straight about what's going on between us, and Eileen's like, I'll just be sensible.
No one can put
to
Sean straight. Marcus is
still distracted,
thinking about what happened with him and regretting every disgusting second, no doubt, while Marie's going on about schools and something to do with blur. I don't remember. He pretends it's something to do with work again. Bad Marcus, because he's just, not only is he changing the subjects, but he's also trying to get sympathy out of her for something that doesn't even exist.
Mm.
His imaginary problems.
Yeah, and then, well, we later then that episode have Marcus and Maria going out for a bistro meal to make up for him screwing up on Valentine's Day. Eileen is trying to get some... Eileen is trying to find out from Todd what's going on between him and Marcus. She is extremely suspicious. He manages to keep getting out of it.
They keep looking at each other. She notices these looks that they're giving. Because Marcus, bless him, is not the most subtle cheater I've ever seen.
No. Well, Maria doesn't notice anything.
Maria's oblivious.
She's totally oblivious to it all. Because he's got her a big bouquet of flowers... and a nice meal, and they're very happy.
See, so, she's playing it wrong too, because as soon as your guy gets you flowers, you go, what did you do? You don't go, oh, thanks, oh, this is brilliant.
Marcus is the perfect boyfriend.
He is, isn't he?
Well, Maria is she onto the loo or the bar later or something? I don't know. And Eileen is a bit sneaky. I think she's been getting tips from Todd.
She just knows this is the classic way of catching anyone out on a soap.
Yeah, she says, I know about you and Todd.
I know what you did last summer.
And he's like, oh yeah, we slept together, but only once.
Only once.
I don't think Eileen was quite expecting it to be that. I think maybe she was expecting maybe a bit of a
snog. I think she was expecting him to say, Todd tried it on with me, but I brushed him off.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I guess
I think that's what she wanted him to say, because she thinks Todd's wrong, and even though it's her son, she knows he's bad news, and she thinks Marcus is all right.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
So she marches straight back off home once Maria comes back to the table and confronts Todd, but he's like, he's got no shame. He's like, yeah, I'm not going to stay away from him. I've got my sights set at him, and there's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
Shameless.
On Wednesday, Todd thinks that Eileen's going to spill the secret. He's worried someone's going to let it out.
Yeah. So all we really had on Wednesday was Marcus saying he just tells Todd to leave him alone, really.
Yeah. Todd's trying to stir things up by saying, I don't know if I can stop my mum from telling everybody.
Mm.
He just wants attention off of Marcus, is all that's about.
Yeah.
So Todd says, Marcus says, leave me alone. And Todd's like, you love me, really. I'm so beautiful. Look at my hamster cheeks. Mwah.
Do you think that one of the reasons that Marcus is secretly disgusted with himself is because he does actually fancy Todd and he's just resisting? Was it a moment of madness, or was it actually what he'd really...
A moment of madness? Yeah, I think so.
Or was it...
Madness.
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 Or was it that he's been, trying to resist these urges?
I reckon
and
it's
gave
really
in and...
complicated. I think part of him is thinking, I'm gonna look an idiot. If I went through all of this and said and went off with a woman and said that I was, even though I'm still gay, and now I'm I don't know what I want, and I think he does fancy him, but I also think he doesn't want to fancy Todd full stop, because he's a vicious snake.
He is also worried about little Liam as well, because he said that to Todd,
he
didn't he, this week?
Family.
Oh, there's a child in this. He's always wanted a family, and I don't think he's going to have one
he
if
can't
he ends
have
up with
a,
Todd.
He can't have a nice house and a kid. And Todd.
No.
Oh. Can't help who you fancy, that's the trouble. Ugh, slimy old Todd.
Tinkers. This is a storyline we enjoyed this week.
Yeah.
More of the Tinkers, because they're all...
You just fancy Sinead. Can't help who you fancy. Might as well just admit it.
I feel disgusted with myself. They're going off to the bingo on Wednesday, Beth and Sinead, because they've got the day off work. They haven't got any money, but Kurt lends them some.
Well, they don't know what to do, but then they realise that they're northern and they've got the day off, so they should have to go to bingo.
Yeah. When they were organising this, I thought that Beth knew it was like a regular bingo goer, but on tonight's episode, she's like...
They're trying not to go to that stereotype, I think.
But Sinead knows all about it. She says, oh, it's really fast.
Yeah, my mum says that as well. She's like, oh, you won't be able to do it. It's too hard.
Yeah, because I'm like Beth, and I'm thinking, well, I've seen bingo being played at school, and it's like...
You really think it'd be easy? It's not.
Yeah, no, you've got to have your wits about
you. You've got to
bingo.
Be... And when Sinead was saying, oh, some of them have two. No, some of them have four, six.
Mm.
Some of them have loads of cards.
Yeah. So they're off to the bingo today. And who do they see there but Maureen, new character. I don't know whether she's just a bit part just in it for today. But she is played by Anthony Cotton's mum, Enid Dunn, the actress. And she's been in it a few times before as well. I saw on Choropedia today. She's played generic old women before. She was also an auntie of Dennis Stringer, who was the guy that Janice was going out with for a little bit. So yeah.
Maybe she is still that person.
Maybe. But yeah, she lends Beth a plaster.
She's got a very fleshed-out backstory for a bit part character.
I thought that was funny, all the stuff with her husband in the little urn.
Well, she turns out to be a fiendish bingo player and a woman who has an enormous bag, just like Mary Poppins. And instead of keeping things like medicine and spoonfuls of sugar and hat stands
inside it,
has her bingo winnings, a plaster... And a dead man.
I love it. It's just these little touches. It's like, what could make this character funny? I know.
She carries around her husband's ashes in a tiny little urn. But we don't know that to start with.
Because there's an urn thief on the loose.
Yeah, there's a hipster at the bus stop when everything's finished and over and done with. Anthony Cotton's mum standing at the bus stop with Beth and Sinead. They're all waiting for the bus to come. The hipster strikes grabs is it Maureen's
yeah.
bag and starts to run off with it. But Beth is made of sterner stuff than both Sinead and Maureen, and she attacks this hipster with her boot, which she's taken off because it's given her jip. So she attacks him, and eventually he relents and runs off. And so she gives the bag back, and Maureen's so relieved and reveals this sordid secret that she has this corpse, desiccated corpse in there. And so the police turn up to take the description. They didn't mention the fact it was a hipster. They could have found him quite easily if they had just said that. The police think it's very
Sinead
hilarious.
Yeah, Sinead says he had glasses, but...
Police think it's all very funny, which just goes to show why the country's in such troubles at the moment. It's a petty crime, but it still should be taken seriously by the police at least.
Yeah, so, and then they all go home and...
have their tea.
Yeah, they have their tea, and Sinead's singing Beth praises. It was just a nice little family
nice
scene.
It
was
wasn't it?
It was, and it's like there's no heavy drama in it, and there was lots of comedy in it.
Sinead was bigging up Beth, and Beth was... sort of basking in it, but saying, oh, stop, oh, it wasn't that big of a deal. Anyone would do the same as me. And that just goes to show why I love Beth so much.
Yeah.
Like, we always compare her to Scylla, but you can just imagine Scylla would be like, oh, she should have given me half of her winnings or
yeah.
something, or she would have given the bag back or something like that.
Do you think that this is just a little vignette, like you said, or is it going to go somewhere? Is Beth going to start going back to the bingo now, or is she going to come become sort of vigilante or...
Oh, God, is it going to be like Corrie Kickass?
Yeah.
And she's gonna be Hit Girl?
Yeah, maybe. I would accept anything with Beth and the Tinkers in. Brilliant.
Well, I mean, as it stands, it was over and done with, wasn't it?
The thing that the one thing that really I didn't like about this was that weird scene when Craig walks out of the kitchen.
I know,
that was really bad.
I'm going to go and make you some stew. And then Kurt goes, oh, it's about that. And then Craig goes...
Hello.
Like,
and that was the end of the scene. What was that all about?
What was that about? It obviously sounded good on
paper. Oh yeah, Craig's got maybe a girlfriend on the go, hasn't he?
He's talking to some girl on the phone.
Yeah, so maybe that's going to be a storyline. That'd be quite funny to
and
have.
And he was like, oh, shut up.
Yeah, it was just like a nice family stuff, wasn't it?
It was sweet. When
no
he was saying, oh,
horrible affairs, no people trying to trick somebody else, no people getting whacked around the head by
and
clanks
also,
of wood.
I'm quite glad too that Kirk slotted himself into a little family.
Yeah, because for so long he'd not been doing anything. And I originally didn't really like him and Beth together. I thought they'd just kind of them together because or give Beth Kirk something to do, I mean. But yeah, as a whole family, they work so well. Really, really good.
Yep.
One family that didn't work quite so well.
No.
Dennis and Rita.
Oh dear, it's all gone wrong.
I've now calmed down after my anger towards
Punched
Dennis last
wall,
week.
Didn't you?
Yeah.
So Monday, Rita is still handling the full fallout from this explosive exit.
Yeah, we've had children being run over all over the place at Bessie Street. There's no lollipop man.
He has abandoned his post, quite literally. She's being phoned up about it, but it's her birthday today and only Norris seems to remember.
Yeah, so they all decide... Oh no, before we have that thing with the party, we get Rita having this text from Dennis, didn't we? Begging him for forgiveness.
Yeah,
so that was very...
snaps. When she gets this, everyone's in there going, I'm really sorry about what happened. Oh,
yeah, Emily
oh,
and
wow, wow,
Mary
and she says, right, everyone get out. I'm sick of this. Get out. She doesn't reply to him. She gets really cross. This was like a step too far from Dennis. Doing it in the first place was bad enough, but then expecting her to forgive him, that's too much for Rita.
What do you think has happened between Dennis and Gloria already? Do you think that they've fallen out already? Or
back.
Do you think... I think he maybe will come crawling back, but I can't believe that after only a few days have passed.
I think I know. I think the thing is, I imagine...
He did seem quite caught up in the moment on Friday,
yeah.
didn't he?
Gloria, in real life, I know exactly the sort of person she is. She would have got sick of him in about 5 minutes.
I don't know whether she would have got sick of him or maybe he's still playing along
maybe
with her.
Maybe he's just realised how relentlessly selfish she is.
Yeah. Exactly. It was all glamorous.
Well, she did say to him, "If you have got any emotional baggage, don't bother getting in the car."
Well, he seems that he certainly has.
Well, he certainly does because he texted Rita. But I guess another reason why she was so cross is because he didn't say happy birthday.
Yeah, he didn't even say happy birthday to her.
No.
So Rita opens up to Norris later, and he's actually very surprisingly sympathetic and supportive.
He fancies her.
Oh yeah. It's really nice to see that side of Norris every now and again, because sometimes he's just a bit too nasty and
I agree.
Thoughtless
he goes a
and
bit
uncaring
too far.
and
they do the same with Roy sometimes as well.
Yeah, but he was lovely, and he was saying, "Oh, you're strong and you'll get through this.
You're a strong, independent woman who don't need no man."
Yeah. And we have Rita reminiscing about seeing Dennis 50 years ago.
She does
she
snivel quite a lot, and she lets
she was
herself...
She was very snivelly, but...
She lets herself be vulnerable in front of Norris.
Yeah, but I'm glad that it didn't last for long.
Yeah, we were worried.
Yeah, we thought, oh, Rita's going to be going into a depression for weeks, and then she's going to go and cry on Tina, and then she'll say, oh, I know, Tommy left me as well.
Oh,
we
Tommy!
Didn't have any of that, because Rita had bucked her ideas up by the end of the episode, and then she's then phoned around her friends, and they had... a really nice birthday celebration for her and the Rover. So that was making the best out of a bad situation. And I thought that was very positive, that storyline on Monday.
Norris walks Rita home and she says, "Good night, my friend."
Yeah.
And then
lovely.
She goes and puts her head in the oven.
We thought that we would have the scene when they've all gone home and then Rita would be crying up
in
her flat, didn't
really
they? But we didn't.
That would happen. Good.
I'm glad they didn't. It was really good. It was a nice way to end that storyline.
Rita has been through too much, too long. She's too old to let this knock her back for too long.
Yeah.
She's had the weekend to worry about it. Next Monday now. Go over it.
Do we forgive Rita for all her grumpiness over the past few months? Did this episode make up for it?
Yeah, I guess she's back in my good books again. She's got to hold the fiery spirit of the red-haired woman.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well done, Rita.
Well done. And then finally, the Roy storyline. So we thought that he'd be there building this massive train.
Kind of like the guy in, was it the Close Encounters of the Third Kind?
Oh, with the mashed potato. We thought
out of actual trains.
But yeah, so he's just getting his packages, isn't he? He's getting more railway things, and he seems to be pretty happy with it.
Now, what you've not realised is this is actually nothing to do with Roy or any storyline. It's product placement for the Royal Mail delivering.
How efficient we are.
Look how efficient we are. A woman sent this. She's dead now, but we still delivered it. Taking so long, the original sender died.
Maria comments that Roy's looking happier than he's ever been since Hayley died. Fizz is pleased to hear from Jenna that Roy's been really upbeat. And so she says, "All right, okay, well, we can start clearing through Hayley's things then." And he's like, what do you mean? So even though it seems like he's not moving on, but he's like ready to see, sort of take the next step in his life. He's obviously not. So
he's
maybe
not.
He's like making a giant train track in the shape
I
of Hayley
say,
or
maybe
something.
Maybe it's a macabre kind of, like all of the passengers are Hayley. That'd be really scary, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's the fat controller. No, look closer. It's Hayley.
Yeah. So, we don't see any more of him after Monday. So, as far as we know,
what
all this week
doing?
He's doing something mysterious up in the cafe. But nice to have a hobby.
Everyone's got to have a hobby, haven't they?
Yeah. So maybe we'll see more of that next week. But...
Well, that was the street this week.
So I did quite like the Trouble at the Mill stuff because it was more exciting than I thought it was going to be. I enjoyed the Tinker stuff.
I think it was a good week.
It was just really the Jason and the Tony stuff that was boring for me this week, I think.
Yeah,
on
I
the
agree.
Whole,
it's like, drama.
Pretty good. Yeah, I'm just Tony doesn't interest me that much, and neither does his relationship with Liz. But I think we're going to see
think
more
they're
of
milking
that
it.
Next
they're
week.
Milking it, but they're not actually providing any drama.
It's good that Liz has got somebody, but. Tony just doesn't seem to have very much going for him at the moment.
What is his personality?
Bloke.
Bloke. We've already got blokes.
Yeah.
Kev's coming back. We don't need a bloke.
Yeah.
Maybe he's going to get a job at the garage, being a bloke. Oh, I've come back from Germany and I need an extra bloke at the garage since Tommy's gone. Oh, Tommy's left. Oh.
Maybe. They've got to do something. Maybe like Eileen and Liz will be fighting over him or something, but it's still...
Well, he is a solid bloke.
It's not
a bloke,
can
you a bloke?
Right, shall we do a character profile?
Yeah, let's get on with it.
Okay, let's get going with character profile of the week. We are doing Gloria Price because she is gone.
Out of there.
Price, yeah, out.
Priced out, yeah, there we go.
She was hardly in it at all. 169 episodes is all she's been in.
We barely knew her.
Yeah, she won
I think we knew her quite well.
She won our best newcomer award in the first year that she was in. year and a bit later, she's all gone.
Is she going to win the Torreira Award?
I don't think so.
Don't think
somehow,
so. She's not going to get the hat trick. No. Hat trick is three, isn't it?
Yes. So she was born in 1942. She had only one child, Stella Price. Good job, really. Well, she might have had another one, but she neglected it. It's probably dead or something. Stella was born in 1963. And Gloria first appeared on the 5th of September, 2012. So that
Who
was...
Who could forget?
That was what? When did we start the podcast? It was like August 2012, wasn't it? So must have been the first few weeks of our podcast, week three or four of our podcast. And now, 80 episodes later, she's gone.
Oh.
She last appeared on the 21st of February 2014 after those 169 episodes. And she is played by the rather famous Sue Johnston.
She is famous. She was best known before Coronation Street for her roles as Sheila Grant in Brookside and Barbara Royal in The Royal Family.
I didn't watch either of those programmes, really. I never really liked The Royal Family. I know it's... You're not really allowed to say that if you're British.
It's
but yeah, I didn't really like The Royal Family. I don't know. Yeah,
just clarify that you do like the actual Royal Family.
I do like the actual Royal Family, but not the TV show The Royal Family. But from whenever I saw it, because we always had to watch it at Christmas, she seemed like quite a good character. I don't know. But so it's just another case of like getting a famous name in Coronation Street, and then they leave after a while, like Stephanie Cole. It was like a big thing at the time, but
so kind of what was the point?
Yeah, I wonder whether that's going to happen with Jimmy Mystery as well, because he's I know he's not quite so big a name, but the fact that he's been like in starring in films and stuff, yeah, I wonder how long he'll last.
Did they achieve their aims?
What with
Either of them?
I don't know what their aim
exactly,
with Gloria
I mean.
Must have been, because
it's not. It was a rhetorical question.
Yeah, I mean. She came in, she was meddling.
She came, she saw, she conquered, and she ran off with someone else's man.
Yeah, it was... Well, we'll see that she hasn't really done too much, and...
I liked her in it.
I quite liked her, but she wasn't very likeable.
No, she wasn't supposed to be likeable, but she had charisma.
I don't know how...
She's kind of like this Sharif guy.
She was a
full
bit...
full of empty graces, you know, that...
I just think that she didn't quite have that spark to make her likeable, like in the same way that Sylvia did, in the same way that Blanche did. She was just...
She's not lovable.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Blanche kind of was, I guess. So another interesting fact about Sue Johnston in Coronation
Go
Street.
On, hit me up.
She had already been in it
no.
before. She was. Not as a Gloria, of course. She played somebody called... Mrs. Chadwick in 1982. She was in it a few
when
episodes.
When in 1982?
August in 1982.
Oh, I wasn't born.
And she was the wife...
That's why I don't remember.
Yeah, that was just before you were born, actually, wasn't it? She played the wife of somebody that Fred G. had secretly hired out Annie's Rover to. Because Fred had this debt to this bloke, and he said, look, instead of paying you back, I'll hire out Annie's Rover to you when she's not looking, because I think Annie was on holiday or something. We didn't see... this Mrs. Chadwick until a little bit later, and she turned up and said that, Fred, I've left my lighter in your car. And then he had to pretend to Annie that he was having an affair with her so that she didn't find out that her precious Rover had been hired out. And that was kind of the end of it, really. Yeah. So there's one picture, I think, on Choropedia of Sue back in the days.
Back in the day.
Yeah. But,
30 years ago.
And that was it for 30 years, yeah. The casting for Glory was announced on the 2nd of April 2012. And according to Phil Collinson back then, she has been at the heart of the very best comedy and drama the UK has produced over the last 30 years and will step into the heart of Coronation Street as her character, Gloria, taking up running the Rovers with daughter Stella. And then the casting statement also said... Quite prophetically, I thought, and the ladies of Weatherfield soon discover they'll have to keep an eye on their men as she sets her sights on Dennis and Lewis.
And I had to point out to you that it doesn't actually count as being prophetic if you actually write the script yourself.
But I don't...
You're not predicting what happens. You're telling people what you're going to do.
2 years ago, it was never decided that she was going to run off and take Dennis with
her. How do you know?
I'm sure it couldn't have been. Because Dennis was only... When did he come back in it? 2011 or so? They wouldn't have... Then they weren't deciding to get rid of him.
Yeah, but they said she's going to be a man-eater. And she was. And you're saying
it
was prophetically.
And she ate a man.
Like, no, that's what they intended her to do. You're just confused because usually when they have a Corey statement, they say things to say, this is going to be an amazing character, and it turns out they're boring.
Well, she started filming on the 26th of April that year, but then she was poorly. She fell ill, so they had to rewrite the script, and she didn't turn up until September rather than the spring start that she was supposed to have. So the backstory to the character is that prior to her arrival in Weatherfield, she'd burned down a dry cleaning business in Spain,
that's
which belonged
hilarious.
To her partner Cliff.
She pretended that she was on the run from gangsters.
Yeah, because she turned up in the middle of the night one time, didn't she? And do you remember Ken was out there in his kimono?
His kimono, yeah.
We'll get to see that again soon. So she spent the first bit of her time in Coronation Street trying to reconcile Stella and Carl, because she always liked them when they were together, and she turns up and finds out that they're split up. Her first bit of meddling is trying to get them back together. She also starts trying to take over the Rovers, like she got rid of the hot pot from the menu. She was making herself quite unpopular. Stella couldn't be dealing with that, so she threw her out. That was after Gloria had offered Carl some shifts in the Rovers, so then she moves in with Nick and Leanne and then gets their backs up as well. Gail manages to help her get back in Stella's good books in the end.
Phew.
She had that funny storyline mid-autumn that year where she was entering the Rovers into the Weatherfield Pub of the Year competition.
She pretended she was the landlady, but she wasn't. And then she wrote comments about herself in an anonymous comments book.
Yeah, and that was all quite funny, wasn't it?
And Norris realised something was up because he was trying to criticise things and none of his comments ever appeared.
Yeah, well, he said that Gloria was vulgar or brash or something, and then she didn't like that.
No, but it was actually Lewis who exposed her as a cheat, because he was annoyed at her because she got involved in Gail's scheme to test his love for Audrey, and he made sure that she knew when she left in disgrace for Istanbul in the taxi. He whispered into her ear that it was all because of what she had done to him.
Yeah.
So basically he showed her up during this Pub of the Year ceremony, and it all came out what she'd been getting up to.
Yeah, now she was off for another, what was it, 3 or 4 months then?
She's off for
so
a long
even,
time.
Even this time, the short time that she's been in it, half of the time she was barely in it. So she comes back.
Part-time worker.
Was it about February or March 2013, I think? And in the meantime, like you said, she'd been in Istanbul. And then she comes back with Eric Babbage, a fiancé. I don't think he was from Istanbul.
No, I didn't think no. He was a carpet salesman.
Yes, but he realised, actually, that she wasn't all that. He saw her nasty side, because she was, at the time, getting involved with Peter because of how he'd been treating Leanne, and Eric was like, oh, Donna,
she's too much for me, I can't be bothered with this.
Yeah, but that's when he started setting his sights on Eva, do you remember?
Yeah, he was buying lavish presents for people, and it kind of looked like he wanted Eva to marry him, or Eva definitely.
Well, he invited Eva off on a cruise around the world or something,
yeah, that's
didn't
right. Stella thought she was all set. But then, before anyone could do anything, Eric just dies.
Oh, sad. Yeah.
So Stella and Eva then accuse Gloria of only being interested in his money, which she denies.
Yeah, she
and
said not really
she has to prove it by... Didn't she use all his inheritance money to bury him or something?
Oh, there was something like that, because we get to see Eric Babbage's wife just for that one episode.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it wasn't quite a rosy retirement.
No. Well, she got this £80,000 money later on in the year, because that was after the Rover's fire. And then she spent that on getting it repaired, because remember the prices were going to have to sell up.
Yeah,
and then,
Stella basically asked her to put money in, didn't she? And so she kind of had to. But she also thought that Jason was the one that set up the fire, because he had a relationship with Stella at the time, and she suspected.
Yeah, well, she always thought
play.
That Carl was amazing, the bee's knees, didn't she? And
she couldn't believe anything wrong about Carl for some reason.
But she is forced to eat her words when it turns out that actually Carl was the one that burned down the Rovers and killed Salita.
Him
all along. So they then, later in the year, sold up the Rovers. Stella wanted to get out of there. She didn't want to live there anymore because of the bad memories with Carl. And then they start working in the bistro together. That was partly to help her after Nick's brain damage, wasn't it? She's not really done much interesting since then.
No, she's
just hanging around, criticising people in the Rovers. She was concerned when Nick started Well, when he slapped Leanne on Christmas, because I think she did seem to have a bit of a soft spot for Leanne, didn't she? Because Leanne was like the granddaughter that she never knew, I guess.
Yeah, she's kind of like ready-made, isn't she?
Yeah, bit of a novelty.
Yeah, but she just kind of like has an acidic tongue, and she's in scenes where I guess they wish Blanche was still around, but she wasn't ever a patch on Blanche, and I think she would have agreed with that because
Yeah.
nobody can replace Blanche.
No.
So her main storyline leading up to her exit was being involved in Dennis's reinvigorated talent agency, where she helped him to book Richie, the amazing, talented, I don't even know,
Rocker.
aging rocker. And she antagonizes Rita when she gets close to Dennis and flirts with him. And I think it was partly because she liked Dennis and partly to annoy Rita
Yeah.
and for
And
the
she liked the
attention.
attention, is
She
actually the whole
liked
thing was
reveling in
attention
being a
seeking.
scarlet woman, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, she did. 'Cause she admitted it as much. She's like, "Oh, I've got nothing better to do when you're my age."
Yeah, you might as well enjoy it while you can. And that's it sums up perfectly in her exit, where she bought herself a car with this money that she's got back from the Rovers, bought herself a little sporty convertible, got herself a pair of sunglasses in the middle of the night, and drove off with someone else's bloke
Yeah.
into the, not the sunset, into the starry sky
Yeah.
of Weatherfield.
She didn't care about anyone else's feelings. She didn't care
No.
for Rita. And
She
I
didn't care that anyone wanted her to stay either. She just wanted to. She had itchy feet, I think. And the character's written quite well because she has been back and forth and been all over the place. Istanbul, Spain.
Yeah, I guess so. Can't stay in the same place
No.
for too long. And that was all the storylines she had, really.
Yeah.
That was it. That was Gloria, and I don't think we'll see her again. I mean, the door's been left open, hasn't it? She's not been killed off, but
Well, if any of the other characters, if Stella leaves, or well, Stella's the main one, isn't she? I don't think Eva and Leanne are enough for Gloria to come back, to really make any sense for her to come back.
no. So
So there you
that's
go.
it. It's a shame, really, because when they make these big name signings, you think, "Wow, it's going to be amazing," because it's got
Yeah.
Sue Johnson in, and I think some of the things that she did in Brookside and Royal Family, I've heard, have really shown what a fantastic actress she can be, and being able to do the comedy, but also the high drama and the pathos and everything. But we didn't really get to see very much of that with Gloria.
Yeah, I don't think that she ever really got a big enough part or a good enough part for to justify her staying on. I think she's the kind of person that would have wanted to be the centre of the show, and she never really was.
Well, they
And I
tried
think
to
it's
make
partly
her it, but
Stella's fault, because Stella was such a boring
yeah,
character.
the fact that they had Gloria being the mother of the Rover's landlady, that should have made her a big character. But yeah, nobody really. They
No one cares,
Stuart
sorry.
Blackburn couldn't wait to get rid of Stella
Yeah.
from the Rover, so
There you
the
go.
Gloria wasn't really needed as a character.
Nope.
So her exit was announced last June. Well, she said she wanted to move on to other things. I guess she realised that her character wasn't going anywhere.
But she was.
Yeah.
Well, she was. She was going off somewhere in a convertible.
Yeah.
So, when she debuted, she said of her character, Gloria, what can I say? She's a bit of a one-off. I don't know what people are going to make of her. She's not of the norm. She doesn't take prisoners, really. She makes enemies. She's outspoken. A very selfish woman, I think. But I have to find all the good things about her, otherwise I couldn't play her.
I think
I
that
think
sums her out quite
she did
well.
play her very sympathetically. You didn't really hate Gloria, even though she actually didn't ever do anything for anyone but herself.
I hated her at the end. I mean, when in the last few episodes, it looked like Rita and Dennis were going to get back together again, and then Gloria was like,
But
"Oh, you're not going to be sleeping over at my house
that's
again."
Dennis's fault. Not you can't blame the person that they cheat on.
But Gloria could have just said, "Okay, I haven't won this one." She could have left Rita and Dennis to
Well, she
live
did win
happily
it
ever
though.
after. Yeah, and she did win it in the
Yeah,
end.
exactly. Well, why give up when you think you could win?
That's what she said. She said she wasn't going to give up.
Yeah, exactly.
She just takes what she wants, and she doesn't care about what other people think.
No.
But I think to be a
If we're all like that, the world would be a worse off place.
I think to be a truly lovable character, you've got to like take what you want if you're going to have that, but you've got to care about other
I
people, I
think the
think, as
thing
well.
about Blanche, I keep coming back to Blanche, is that you never believe that she would screw her family over.
No.
She'd sit there and slag them off,
Yeah.
like to the end of the day of her days. And Gloria never really did that. so much as Blanche did. But no. Blanche would never cross her family or do anything to hurt them.
No, I don't think so. Even Ken. So
there you go. That was glorious.
It's a shame that they've got rid of another oldie.
Yeah.
Well, two birds with one stone, isn't it? Gloria and Dennis.
But a bird in hand, it's left two in the bush.
But we've got Sharif now.
Thank God for that.
Some kind of replacement, maybe.
Are you
talking
about him? Character profile of Sharif next week.
This is the first kind of proper character that we've seen come and go in the podcast.
Do you think?
Well, apart from like proper small characters like Eric Babbage, say, this is the first one that we've done a profile of that we've been around for the whole
shebang.
Run of.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Interesting. That was Gloria. Let's move on to the news. The cabin.
Okay.
It's the cabin, it's the news section, and we were just talking about Gloria and complaining about the fact that Sylvia had gone, and Stephanie Carl has revealed there will be no more Sylvia. That's the end of her character. Gloria might come back, who knows, but Stephanie Carl has no intentions to return.
Yeah, she's been doing a couple of interviews this week, I think, but she's got no shame about it either.
No,
not that she should be ashamed, but she's like, yeah, I'm not coming back.
She said, I'm terrible, you see. I'm a little bit like a fly. I like to flit hither and thither. Well, let's say a butterfly. That's rather nice, isn't it? She's not like a batty, I would. I don't like being away from theatre too long. I don't like being away from telly too long. I adored my time on Corrie. Great, wonderful actress. Great crews and great scripts. And also, of course, Robert Vaughan is my love interest. It can't be bad, can it?
Yes, that was Milton.
So that really explained her decision not to return to the street.
It's such a shame because she lifted Coronation Street so much with every scene that she was in. But I guess that's what a good actor can do. And if you are a good actor, why stay in one place for too long?
I don't know. You know what I think of this story.
Yeah, we didn't like how Stephanie left quite so abruptly. It's a real shame because Roy could so do with his mum at the moment. But oh well, that's the last we've seen.
Well, she's decided she can do what she likes. Let's move on. Peter Armitage, he is in remission after being diagnosed with bowel cancer last year.
Yes, now this is Bill, who we have only really talked about on our award shows when we made our predictions. The first time we talked about him, we said we reckon he's going to marry Pam in 2013. And then this year's prediction of him is that he would be dead. But
the actual actor,
yes,
looks like he's okay. He's going to have 6 monthly checkups for the next 5 years, which is pretty typical of most cancer that you get over.
Yeah, he was diagnosed in May last year, and it's one of these kind of cases where we don't find out about it until they're in remission or until they're cured or whatever.
Or they don't.
So it's very good news. And he's also said that he wants to come back to Corrie.
He says that when Kevin comes back from visiting his dear old dad, it turns out Bill is fine.
Yeah, so yeah, he's not going to be dead.
Yeah, so he also said of his diagnosis, don't let embarrassment put you off going to a doctor, because embarrassment with cancer could kill you, which is what happened with Bob Monkhouse, sadly.
Yes,
the comedian who died, I think it was prostate cancer.
I think it was prostate cancer.
And
he
was kind of resurrected with the aid of computer technology to do an advert warning people
weird.
Not to let embarrassment kill them.
Yeah,
don't die of embarrassment, I think it was.
Yeah,
I found that weird. Anyway,
it was very weird.
So that
good that Peter is back. I'd like him back in Coronation Street. I quite like. Well, he wasn't an amazing character, but I didn't dislike him. I thought that having Pam with Bill was a really good pairing. I don't know anything about whether she wants to come back. I bet she wouldn't say no.
Bill was one of those characters that I liked to see him in a scene, like Eileen.
Yeah.
Just kind of like them being around. I don't care what they're doing. I don't need them to be doing anything particular.
And it's another oldie as well, because he's like 70 something now, I think.
Do you think so?
Yeah. But,
well,
yeah,
he's okay. Hmm. Another story we have about complaints. Not about us, about Coronation Street. Over 100 people complained, or 100 complaints in one person, very irate, about Marcus and Todd's shenanigans last week.
I can't believe that there were that many people that complained.
That their pre-watershed antics were too sexually suggestive.
And we didn't like the scene. We were a bit like, oh no, what are they doing? Don't do it, Marcus. But I can't believe that
people... Homophobic?
I don't think...
Well, it says here, Ofcom said, it was not in breach of the generally accepted standards. Our rules do not discriminate between scenes involving opposite sex or same-sex couples. So they are kind of insinuating there that people's distaste was purely to do with the fact that they were gay characters. But I have to say that they are discriminating here, because if they had had two naked lesbians, it wouldn't have been acceptable to have shown that topless, would it?
No.
They both took their tops off.
That's true. But I mean, I think what we saw from Todd and Marcus is no worse than what we've seen from like Peter and Tina recently.
Yeah, it's gross. It's
and
all
they're
disgusting.
Both gross, but I bet nobody complained about Peter and Tina. Well, certainly not 100 of people. Is that what we can complain to ourselves, but you wouldn't think of writing into Ofsted. Ofsted, Ofcom because of that. So I guess it kind of is still homophobic, even in this day and age, 10 years
I'm
after.
I'm going to hold my hands up and say I honestly think it's homophobia that's fueling this, which is tragic. But at the same time, it is brilliant that there's enough gay characters to have a love triangle.
Yeah,
and it's gone from having, I mean, Todd was in the first ever gay kiss scene in Corrie, and now he's pulling off another man's top and pushing it. Well, no, it was actually Marcus, wasn't it? The saucy minx.
Yeah.
So it shows how far it's Coronation Street's come, but unfortunately, some people haven't come with it into the 21st century.
Yeah. So good move for Ofcom there.
Yeah. No, you're silly.
There was also some weird news this week about Kevin Hart. Hollywood star Kevin Hart. I've got no idea
Kevin
who
Hart.
This man is, but
he's my favourite Hollywood actor.
My Twitter feed on Thursday or Wednesday, I can't remember when it was just full of this picture of him and Beverly Callard pulling a point at the Rovers. Everyone had retweeted it, and I've got no idea who Kevin Hart is. He's here apparently promoting his film Ride On. And he's been in
Ride On. I love that film. Kevin Hart is in that film.
You've never heard of him. Ride On, that's a Pokemon as well. He's been in films. He's been in some of the scary movie films. He's been in, I don't know what, I looked at the list and they're all films that I hadn't seen, so I'm not excited at all by Kevin Hart being there.
No, let's face it, we're just jealous. Because we're probably about as famous as Kevin Hart. I've never heard of him. I've heard of you. We don't get to visit Corrie sets and shake hands with people and pull pints with Beverly Callard.
Yeah. So that's
he doesn't even know what Coronation Street
that's
is.
That's the thing. Does he actually know what it is?
Does
I
he
don't
know where
know.
He is? Do you think it was just all a bit weird? Because he was like, "What the hell? Where am I? What the hell am I doing?" And everyone was like, "Who the hell is this guy?" They're like, "This is a famous TV show." And he was thinking, "No, it bloody isn't." And they're going, "This is a famous Hollywood movie star." And they're going, "I've never seen it."
All very
Maybe it
weird.
It was a practical joke.
I don't
played
know.
On everybody.
We mentioned it just in case there's any of our listeners that actually know who Kevin Hart
there
is and might be interested in this, dude.
Conversation Street listeners love Kevin Hart. It's a massive overlap.
I heart Kevin Hart.
Yeah, and our following.
Yeah, and last bit of news. We talked last week about Glenda from the Coronation Street books. Blog's new book, and there hasn't been a whole lot since last Friday about it, even though the publisher said that there would be in a few days, but we do have a title, and it is The Perfect Duet, A Diary of Roily and Hayley Cropper.
Roily, I love that name.
What? Roily? I didn't say
That's
Roily,
what you
did
said.
I? Roy and Hayley Cropper. Yeah, The Perfect Duet. Didn't that come from Hayley's funeral, and they had that classical piece, and Roy was saying that it was the perfect duet, these two violins. Do you remember that? Yeah, Gemma's trying not to remember the funeral.
I did go to Hayley's funeral.
Yeah, so there's this book coming and we'll find out more about it when we do, but we're looking forward to that.
And if you want to find out more about it,
you can visit the blog at coronationstreetupdates.blogspot.co.uk. There's nothing there at the moment, but there may well be soon. That's it for the news this week, so we'll just have a bit of feedback before we end the show this evening. Okay, feedback section. We have just got one bit of feedback this week, which is our email from Tivor, so we'll just read that off before we finish the show. She says, more notes from me. Dennis might have been with Rita for a roof over his head. They made a big deal over him relying on her financially, yet he must have a pension of his own. Well, if his finances are no different, then he's only traded in one financial dependency for another due to Gloria's money made from the sale of the pub. What's different? The adventure, I guess. Yeah, Dennis was just wanted an adventure, and I think he felt a bit... Wait, was he really stuck in a rut? He seemed happy enough in Weatherfield before this storyline came, doing his lollipop job, didn't he? I mean,
Don't forget, Dennis is of the age whereby if he doesn't go with Gloria, he's never going to go. We can sit here and go, oh, we can go to Spain any time we like. We can go and sit pina coladas if we want to. It doesn't matter. We've got the rest of our lives. Dennis is probably thinking, tick, tick, tick. I've got, you know, I've got a certain amount left. Am I going to stay here? What does Rita want to do? Rita just wants a salad, boiled sweets by the quarter.
Yeah.
I totally understand why he went. I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm just saying completely understand why he did go with her.
Tibor also went on to say, Todd is a good-looking man and Marcus was probably very flattered with all the attention and flirting. It's not really any different from a woman being attracted to a bad boy, is it? It's a physical attraction, never mind the personality. Todd is definitely playing Marcus, and I don't believe in any way, shape or form that Todd actually has feelings for Marcus.
Yeah, I agree.
Because hasn't Todd... He's been saying, oh, I'm in love with somebody, or...
Only to get that information to Marcus to intrigue him, because he knows what Marcus is made of. He knows Marcus is kind of like a family kind of loyalty, you know. Like, yeah. He's not going to throw Maria and the kid away just for a one-night stand.
Mm. Yeah.
But if he thinks there's feelings involved, it's gonna tear him in half.
Mm. He's just bored since he's back from London.
Of course
and
he
sitting behind his switch all day. Maker. Yeah, plotting his next scheme.
Yeah, she said there's a challenge to get Marcus back to the gay side. I do like this storyline, even though I really don't like Todd. Not supposed to like Todd, so that's okay.
Yes.
I think what's going to happen is Todd will have his way with Marcus, leading him on, and then managing to reveal it to Maria in some way, probably using Sean. Oh, God, that would be traumatic, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Todd will be smug and triumphant, and Marcus will realise he's been used and he's lost everything.
Yeah, I think Marcus is not going to end up coming out on top of this storyline. Neither is Sean. Sean's going to have his poor little heart broken.
He is. Poor Sean.
At least he's got his mum on Coronation Street now to cry on.
Exactly. She continues. No. I wonder whose kid Amy is. She prefers museums to games. You're remembering the panto that Becky and Claire
put on. Oh, yeah. This is about when I was talking about... Because I said last week that Amy had got some other child swearing in a talent show. And I was kind of close. It was Amy that she was swearing herself at this panto. Amy had been caught swearing a couple of times and everyone blamed Becky for it. Amy was in front and centre of the panto stage and forgot her lines or something and swore just as the tram went by. And that stopped the performance right there. Thank you for putting me straight on that.
So, what are you suggesting that Amy really is Rory's kid?
Yeah, after all.
Wouldn't that be
an ultimate twist?
Yeah, it would be. I'd love that.
Roy is really the father. That means she can be called Patience again.
That'd be awesome. And can you imagine, like, Roy having to take Amy in?
Oh, man, all on his own.
It'd be like
No Sylvia to help him anymore.
One of those weird 80s movies.
Yeah.
One old guy and a little lady. You know, remember that one?
Right, so that was our only feedback. So that's it for the show. Short show this week, but it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter because I'm ill.
Yeah, Gemma's been poorly, everybody. Yeah, so sick. I think we say well done to Gemma.
Well
and
done,
a clap
mate.
For making it
I
through a podcast today. Gemma had about 2 hours sleep last night.
Yeah.
And she's feeling very unwell. But I think she's done a good job considering. Well
Thank
done,
Thank you
darling.
So much. You make me feel like I'm a kid in your class. Do I get a certificate?
Yeah, I'll give you a gold star later on.
Thank you.
I haven't got an excuse to hear rubbish this week. I never have. if you would like to get in touch with us, I was going to say Gemma, send her a guest. We'll get well soon,
Kat. Here's her number.
There's nothing wrong with you. What's wrong with you? You're just a bit poor.
Just ill.
Just ill. Just generally ill.
I thought I was going to be sick.
Yeah, and you've got shin splints.
I got shin splints and I might have a rotator cuff injury and I'm training for a big race at the end of March, everybody. It's like a storyline.
Wait, training for a race just like Kevin and Molly were? I'm starting to suspect you now, actually. Right, we need to leave this there. We need to have a serious chat. conversationstreet@gmail.com if you'd like to email us, or you can leave a message on our blog at conversationstreet.podbean.com. Please review us on iTunes. It only takes a little while. Even if you don't usually have it, you can sign up to iTunes, give us a review and then never use it again, but it's always good to have those.
It's really important because
it gets more people to hear about the podcast,
the search results.
Please review us only if you're going to give us nice reviews. Follow us on Twitter, you can join us there, or Facebook, we're there Conversation Street. You can get links to those on our blog as well. And that's it for another week. We'll be back next week. We'll have seen the Coronation Street moving story, so I'm really looking forward to finding out about the development of the set. Don't forget, Thursday, 9 o'clock, I think, for the UK. I'm sure you'll be able to see it on YouTube as well afterwards, all you Canadian and other nationality viewers out there. Should be good. So, have a good weekend, have a good week, and we'll see you next time.
Goodbye.
The music for this episode came from podcastthemes.com.